No, if you've been here in the recent weeks, we've been in a series of messages on the king and his kingdom. But however, given all the circumstances, I wanted to break from that at least this Sunday. We'll see what happens next Sunday and going forward. But I want to share a word of encouragement. I want to just talk to you a little bit and just share a word of encouragement from my heart. Obviously, I don't have to restate it. Oh, what do you mean we're in a crisis? No, we're in a crisis. An unprecedented kind of storm that we're in. I was working on this message Thursday morning as the news came that the first fatality had occurred in Tulsa from COVID-19, and it was a Berry Hill resident. And then we were watching the reports, as Sarah mentioned, about our dear friend Greg Mundus, the director of Assemblies of God World Missions, and who tested positive, who's battling for his life in Springfield. His wife, Sandy, also has tested positive and is in the hospital. And so I could just, as I got those reports, and we've got other friends that have been affected and in the hospital and things, and as I could just kind of feel that anxiety and fear just kind of rising up in my heart, and not just in my heart, but it was rising up in my gut. You know, that ball, that fist that you get down in there, like, oh Lord, what's happening? And you may have felt that way, or you may be feeling it now. And all of a sudden you're thinking, all those things that we used to preach about and talk about, is that what's happening? Is that what's taking place in the world? And you just feel everything kind of tensing up, you know? And if so, then hear the word of the Lord from the Gospel of John. And Brittany already shared that text that we're going to use today. Jesus said, do not let your hearts be troubled. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. I remember Bishop Frederick Hardy was here years ago and preaching, and he explained Jesus was saying, don't let trouble get into your heart, right? Don't let it get into your mind and into your spirit. We have to make a choice. We have to make a decision about that. We have to take action to place our trust in God and in Jesus and not let trouble get into our heart. I choose, you choose to rest it all in him and not let that trouble get into your heart. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5, cast all your anxiety, all your cares, all your worry, all your fear, casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. And we're going to have to make that choice to cast our cares, our worries about the virus, about the economy, about whether we're going to have a job when this is all over, about our family and friends, about the future. We're going to need to take all of that. Whew, it's a lot, isn't it? And we're going to place it all in his hands. Why? Because he cares for us. He cares about us, and he cares about what's going on. The context of this passage that we've quoted from John 14, Jesus is preparing, Brittany said this, but Jesus is preparing his disciples for his imminent death and resurrection and ascension. He's preparing them because he's leaving. Don't let your heart be troubled at what's going to happen over the next few days because he's getting ready for his crucifixion. Don't be troubled over what's going to happen over these next weeks because he's going to ascend into heaven. And they had to feel unsettled like we feel this morning. Everything must have felt uncertain and unsettled to them. Everything was changing. And he then said, but don't worry, don't be frightened, don't be troubled. I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And then he said, and you know the place where I'm going. And I think this would be my paraphrase, that when he said that, don't be afraid, you know the place I'm going. I think they said, wait, what? Wait, you're leaving? You're leaving now? What in the world? What do you mean you're leaving? What do you mean you're going somewhere? We don't know the way. We don't know where you're going. You're giving us way too much credit. Have you been paying attention for the last 3 years? We're clueless. We don't know what to do. And I got to tell you, that's pretty much the way I feel this morning about everything that's going on. Wait, what? Wait. So that what? Now there's a pandemic? Wait. Wait, I wasn't ready for this. We don't know what to do. None of us have ever been this way before. How are we supposed to know the way? And then Jesus said these words, I'm the way, and I'm the truth, and I'm the life. Wait, what? Yeah, I'm the way. It sounds to me like we'll find our way through all of this, through whatever is happening and whatever's coming through these difficult and frightening and uncertain times. We'll find our way as we keep our eyes on Jesus. I'll say more about that in a minute. But later in this chapter, Jesus tells the disciples, peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. I don't give to you as the world gives, because the world has to base everything on immediate outcome. But he says, no, I'm going to give you a different kind of peace. It's going to keep you through this. And then he says it again, do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Now, that's not a promise there won't be trouble. That's not a guarantee that followers of Jesus won't get sick or even die. It's a promise of presence and peace. It's a promise that he won't leave us in the midst of this. He's the Prince of Peace, and he promises to be with us. I can't make promises to you about what's going to happen in the coming weeks, but I can promise you that whatever happens, Jesus will be with us, and his peace will be with us all along the way. Because of that, we can say, as Jesus said, so don't let your hearts be troubled, and don't be afraid. Pastor Sarah has been preaching on Wednesday nights on the book of Revelation, the revelation of Jesus. And one of the things that you that are part of the homecoming service on Wednesday night, one of the things she's repeatedly emphasized is that as trouble and calamity was unleashed on the earth in John's revelation, the important thing to remember was to watch the Lamb. Keep your eyes on the Lamb. Revelation 6:1, John said, I watched as the Lamb opened the seals. He kept his eyes fixed on Jesus. And understand, I'm not suggesting that what's happening in the earth right now is one of the judgments of Revelation, or that the scrolls have been, or seals have been opened, or whatever. What I'm suggesting is that we do what John did in the Revelation. We just keep watching the Lamb. Let's just keep our eyes on Jesus. And John said, he's at the right hand of him who sits on the throne. Keep looking to him. And remember this morning, in spite of all the frightening things around us, remember what they were declaring concerning the Lamb in Revelation 5. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and praise. And regardless of the circumstances, what we did this morning is the right thing to do. Worship and give praise and thanks to God. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the pandemic and the fear around us, he is still worthy of our praise. And all strength and glory and power and honor and praise belongs to him. Keep your eyes on the Lamb. Keep looking to Jesus and keep worshiping him. I thought of the prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 6, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord seated on a throne high and exalted. And it was a time of uncertainty for the prophet. The king was dead. Would there be civil unrest? Were all of his staff and council, were they going to be killed? Who was going to take the throne? Were there going to be food shortages? What was going to happen? Would there be a recession? Are things going to fall apart? But then Isaiah looked heavenward and saw the Lord high and exalted. And I don't know what will happen, but I'm looking heavenward today. Keep watching the Lamb. And then we can say in the year 2020, in the year of the coronavirus, in the year of COVID-19, I saw the Lord, and he was seated on the throne, and he was high and lifted up. He was ruling over all, and I knew that I could trust him and that ultimately everything was going to be all right. Keep looking to Jesus, and his peace will keep you through all the unsettledness of this present crisis. The question has been asked, well, is what's happening in the world, is it the devil unleashing sickness? Is it hell coming against it? Is it God's judgment? Is this the book of Revelation being fulfilled? Well, here's what I know. A long time ago, when I was a student, the first go-around at ORU, Oral Roberts used to tell us, God is a good God and the devil's a bad devil. And Jesus said the devil came to kill and steal and to destroy, but Jesus came to give us life and that more abundantly. And the devil is the one who's come to destroy, but God is the one who redeems every situation. God is the one who causes all things to work together for good to those who love him and are called according to his purpose. And so what I believe today is that whatever's going on, God is going to be at work. We're going to listen to what he has to say. We're going to follow his direction in all of this. And I believe, in addition to keeping our eyes on Jesus and not allowing fear and trouble in our heart, that our response in this crisis time is to let God show us ways to redeem the situation and this season. Trust him to ultimately turn this around and to bring glory to himself and to bring us through. There's an opportunity for us to be the church, and people have been saying it all week long. The church is not about a building, it's about the people, right? Remember that? Here's the church, here's the steeple, all right? Open the doors, it was that way. See the people, right? That's what it is, man. It's about the people. It was always that. You have to be old to remember that, don't you? Here's the church. Here's the steeple. Open the doors and see all the people. Yeah, all right. Here's what I'm telling you this morning. Let's be the people we say we are. Let's be the people of God. Let the church lead the way. By the way, the seven people in here were cracking up, all right? I know you couldn't see it or hear it. Yeah. So let the church lead the way in ministry and in helping and serving others. Pray for each other. Check on one another. Check on your neighbors. Check on the elderly. See if they need groceries or assistance in some way. If you've got elderly people, don't let them be out there. Don't let them be out there at 7 o'clock in the morning trying to get a loaf of bread at the grocery store. They're liable to get run over in what I'm hearing out there. But let's look for ways to care for one another. Don't be a hoarder, be a giver. Don't operate out of fear, operate out of faith today. Among our church members, as you've seen this morning, we're doing our best to communicate by the internet and social media, but not everyone has the internet. Not everybody's on Facebook or Instagram or all those other things. I laugh because I just have to say, somebody come take this and show me what to do all the time. And if you don't have anybody to do that, that's why you need to check on people and say, can I help you get something set up or whatever? Make sure that other church members are getting the information regarding services and who to call if there's an emergency, because there are folks out there that all they've got is a landline at their house. And so check on some of those folk if you know who they are. Make sure they're hearing about this. Make sure as we're able to communicate through social media that you can let others know. Share resources with others as you're available. Everybody's going to have to sacrifice during this time. Let the church lead the way. Let us be one that leads the way. And then let the church lead the way in compliance. And we sometimes forget the Bible says in Romans 13, everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. Consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. Now, I understand there are times when a corrupt and godless government or regime imposes laws that are contrary to God's law, and at that time, civil disobedience is appropriate, and we're called to obedience to a higher law, but that is not what is happening right now at this time. We're being asked to voluntarily comply with a directive from our local and state and national leaders that we limit group size to 10 and to limit our movement, and we're doing our best here to comply with that. And we've limited the size of the group that was on the platform, and others have gone home, so we've limited the size. I'm preaching to an empty sanctuary other than those six or seven that are still here in the building. We're practicing social distancing. Let's let the church lead the way in being compliant. Let's do our best to help minimize the spread of this disease, as we've said. Our offices, Sarah mentioned, our offices are going to be closed until further notice, but you can, the office number, 918-446-0795, you can call, and during regular office hours, that number will be answered. If you've got an emergency, you can call the emergency number at 918-740-0795. It is an emergency number. Don't call to tell us, I can't get that Facebook on. That's not an emergency. That may or may not even be a priority, but anyway, call that church number. The pastors are going to be working from home, and so you can call us at home, you can call a cell number, find ways to get in touch with us, but we're going to do our best to be there, but understand we need to lead the way in being compliant. We want to do what the doctors and scientists have been saying about flattening the curve, and so as the church, let's do all we can to help stop the potential spread of this virus. And let me just tell you, friends, now is the time for us to take seriously the advice of the medical and health professionals in our community. We're saying, well, it's not a problem, you know, and I get it. And a week ago, I was kind of going, well, I don't know, it hadn't really hit Oklahoma. And all of a sudden, it hit us with a bang, didn't it? And all of a sudden, I've got really close friends that are on life support and very, very ill. And so all of a sudden, it's like, oh, wait, it's time to take this seriously. That's what I'm saying this morning. Let's heed. Let's be as compliant as we can be. And then, friends, let the church lead the way in prayer. And you've heard us. We've been praying each evening at 7 o'clock, 1,900 hours, praying against this COVID-19 virus. There's something powerful that happens when the people of God unite their hearts in prayer. Last Friday, our Assemblies of God, the General Superintendent Doug Clay called for a worldwide Assembly of God Fellowship of Prayer, and I caught just a little bit of it with people praying in other countries and other languages around the world as we join our hearts. It's time for the church to take this seriously. You know, there was a moment when the disciples, Jesus, in fact, was on the Mount of Transfiguration. He came down and the disciples had tried to cast a demon out of a young boy, and they couldn't. And Jesus then cast the demon out, talked to the Father. And then later the disciples said to him, "What was the deal with that? Why couldn't we get rid of this?" And Jesus said, "This kind only comes out by prayer," and some translations add, "and fasting." This kind. I don't know what this thing is, this virus, but I kind of wonder if maybe this kind doesn't disappear unless the church rises up and begins to pray. This kind may require prayer and fasting. Let's lead the way in prayer. This isn't just about Tulsa or Oklahoma. This is about people around the world. And I know we're concerned about shortages in America and a lack of equipment and masks and gowns and ventilators and all those things. But just remember, millions of people around this world have no access to those kind of medical facilities or the kind of help that we have here. The worldwide effects of this can be devastating. And I'm not saying it so you'll panic or be afraid. I'm saying it as a call to prayer. Let's pray. Pray for the sick. Pray for the most vulnerable. Pray for the doctors and scientists. Pray that they have wisdom and knowledge and insight and understanding to come up with the right treatments and the right medications and drugs to use, the right to create a vaccine and to do it faster than anybody can imagine. Pray and don't stop praying. Don't panic, but let's pray. The Bible says the effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. It makes a difference when the church prays. And I'm issuing a call to prayer. I remind you of the instructions that the Lord gave to Solomon after the dedication of the temple. God knew there would come a time when the hearts of people would turn away from him. It would just become complacent, or they'd allow sin to crowd into their heart and crowd God out of their lives and out of the priorities of their life. And this is what God told Solomon. You know this verse, many of you. "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, and if my people will turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land." Folks, it's the church's responsibility to lead the way in repentance and in humbling ourselves and praying. This isn't about, well, God's just judging all this. No. It's our responsibility. Let's examine our hearts and our lives. And if there are things we need to change, attitudes that need to change, relationships that need to be mended, if there's wickedness we need to turn from, if we haven't been seeking his face, if we haven't been spending time in worship and prayer and fellowship with the Lord, now's the time to renew that fellowship. It's an opportunity right now for increased attention and devotion to God and to the things of God. Pray and call on the Lord. And let's believe the Lord that as the church, his people, humble themselves and pray, he'll heal our land and turn this terrible plague away from us and from this planet. Again, we don't pray out of fear, we're praying out of faith, believing that God will hear us as we call upon his name. The president said it was like being a wartime president. The scientist, if I remember, the Secretary General of the United Nations this week said, we're in a war against this virus. And as the church, we know what the Bible says about our warfare. Paul writes, "For though we live in the world, we don't wage war as the world does. The weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. The best weapons of the church are the weapons of prayer and the weapons of intercession and the weapons of love and service and good works and faithfulness. Let the church lead the way." And then let the church lead the way in redeeming the time. On a personal level, during this time when many of us are at home, and I wouldn't be surprised if more of us aren't home here in the next week or two, maybe quarantined or whatever, use this time to read and to reflect and to examine the priorities of your life. Instead of focusing on all the things you can't do right now, focus on the things you can do. And I don't mean to sound all, well, aren't you the glasses half full kind of a guy, because I'm not necessarily that guy. But you know what I mean, don't you? Don't allow despair or depression to defeat you. Finish the projects that you've been postponing. Look for ways to bless others. Some are isolated alone, and we've got folks in our church that live alone. Check on them. Reach out to them. Make a phone call. And some are isolated with a house full of children. Really check on them, all right? Just make sure, are you still functioning? Or is everybody still there? Phone calls, FaceTime, Zoom. I don't even know what all those things are, but apparently there's a lot of ways to connect. So do that. Two cans and a really long string. I don't know. But redeem the time, redeem the opportunity to pray and to do good and to serve the Lord and serve others. There have been a lot of things that I've said, well, when I retire, this is what I'm going to do. Well, guess what? I'm not retired, but I seem to be spending a lot of time at the house. And so I'm thinking, well, I could go through that stuff now, couldn't I? It looks like there's a project for me. And so let's do that. I quoted Sarah at the beginning, to keep watching the Lamb, keep looking to Jesus, keep looking to Him for the long haul. Listen, things in this war, this battle, are going to keep changing, but I just remind you that Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, the Bible says. He's not changing, and He's not going anywhere. And I'm just going to wrap this up real quickly by reminding you of something that happened to Jesus in Mark's Gospel, chapter 4. Similar accounts are told in the Gospel of Matthew and in Luke's Gospel as well. The Bible says, that day when evening came, Jesus said to His disciples, "Let us go over to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took Him along just as He was in the boat. And there were also other boats with Him. And a furious squall, a storm came up, and the waves broke over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. If not for the fearless crew, the minnow would be lost. Anyway, that was a whole other story. Jesus was in the stern, sleeping on a cushion. The disciples woke Him and said to Him, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, "Quiet, be still." And then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. And He said to His disciples, "Why are you so afraid? Do you still have no faith?" They were terrified and asked each other, "Who is this guy? Even the wind and the waves obey." The disciples were in a storm, and so are we. And understand, that storm on the Sea of Galilee was threatening the same things that this storm of the coronavirus, COVID-19, is threatening. The storm threatened the lives of all on board. They could all die in that storm. They were fearing for their lives. And Mark specifically tells us that there were other boats traveling with them. And it may have been family members and friends that had been listening to Jesus as He was teaching on the other shore, and they were all going to follow Him to the other side. And the disciples may have not just been fearing for themselves. They were tough old fishermen. But what about their wives and their kids and their friends that were on board the other boats? And they maybe were frightened for what was going to happen there. We can identify, can't we? It's a fearful time. And not just about us, but what about our kids, and what about our grandkids, and what about our friends, and what about our family? What if a friend gets sick? Well, again, we've already had friends affected by this pandemic. It's frightening. And not only were their physical lives threatened, but the storm threatened their livelihood. These were fishing boats they were traveling in, because these guys were fishermen. They made their living on the Sea of Galilee. And if the storm sank their boats, they would lose everything. Their equipment, their means of support, their primary means of transportation even. They were fishermen because they fished from the boat using nets. And it would all be lost if the boats were swamped and went under. And some of you I know today, you're frightened and you're wondering, what are we going to do? Can my family survive financially this storm? Doors are closed, businesses are closed and shut down, planes aren't flying, and if they're not flying, they're not needing repair. And you understand, we're in a storm and we're feeling what the disciples in the boat were feeling. And not only did the storm threaten their lives and their livelihood, the storm threatened what they believed about Jesus, because this wasn't what they expected. This wasn't what they signed up for. They must have thought, well, we're going to be in the boat with Jesus. That ought to exempt us from storms. And I really kind of have that feeling. So they're saying, "Teacher, don't you care if we drown?" It's kind of the way you feel, isn't it? I mean, some of these friends of mine, they're missionaries, they're evangelists, they're teachers, they're pastors. Come on, Lord. Why are they sick today? Come on, you know. This isn't what I expected. Don't you care if we drown? Listen, in frightening, unsettling times, don't doubt what you already know about Jesus. Don't lose sight of Jesus. As we've said repeatedly, keep watching the Lamb. Keep your eyes on Jesus. For almost 65 years, I've known Him to be faithful. I've known Him to be kind. I've known Him to be the Savior and the Lord of my life. I won't doubt that now when the storms come. Jesus was asleep in the stern of the boat. He wasn't afraid. And in fact, when He got up, He said, "Why are you tripping? Why are you so afraid?" We're afraid because we don't know what Jesus knows. That was what was going on in the boat. It's what's happening here. But remember, He said to the disciples at the beginning, "Let's go over to the other side." Listen, friends, Jesus plans on getting us through this to the other side. He's going to get us to our destination. We may be a little wet. When we get there, life is like one of those rides at Silver Dollar City that say, attention, you will get wet on this ride. You're going to get wet, all right? But Jesus said, let's go to the other side. He's in the boat with us so we can stop being afraid and rest in the fact that we're going to get where we're going, hallelujah, and we're going to get there right on time. Don't allow fear to cause you to question or doubt what you believe about Jesus and about his love and his concern for you. Paul in Romans 8 gave us a list. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, can any of those things separate us from the love of Christ? He says, no, not even, not death nor life, not angels or demons, not powers or principalities, not things in the past or not things present and not things to come that we're worried about. He says, none of those things, not height nor depth, nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Jesus Christ. None of those things can separate us. I quoted at the beginning, we can cast our anxiety, our care, our fears on him because he cares for us. Listen, he loves you. He really does. He cares about you, and he's going to see you through, and all of us see us through this season. Mark tells us, Jesus got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. One translation says, Jesus stood up and said, hush. Hush, be still. That's all it took. Three words from the master. King James Version reads, peace, be still. And the storm was over. And in the midst of the strangest time I can recall in America, can you hear the master speaking those words to you this morning? Can you hear him speaking that over you today? Peace, be still. Quiet, hush, hush. You know what it is? You get the baby that's crying and you put them up there on your shoulder and you're patting them saying, it's okay, hush, shh, shh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Peace, be still. Let Jesus quiet the fear and anxiety in your heart and in your mind and in your spirit today. The psalmist said, be still and know that I'm God. Just be still for a minute and know that I'm God. In the midst of all the crisis, quiet your heart. Know that he's still God. He rules and reigns. Listen to me, friends. This storm will end. This storm will end. We will get through this. Peace will come. Order is restored. We're going to get through this. He's going to see us. Don't give up. Don't panic. We're going to get through this. And Psalm 46 opens with these words. God is our refuge and strength and ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. God's our refuge and strength. He's the one we're going to look to. We're keeping our eyes on Jesus, right? And Psalm 46 closes with this assurance. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is with us. Jesus is with us in the boat. He's our refuge and our strength. The Lord Almighty is with us. Don't let your heart be troubled today. He's going to safely get us to the other side. The Lord Almighty is with us, and he speaks peace to us. Let him calm the storm and the tempest in your heart and mind. You may be sitting in a hospital room or in a waiting room this morning with somebody that you love who's desperately ill, and you tuned in to see this. Let him speak in the midst of your storm. Hear him say, peace, be still. Don't let your heart be troubled. Don't be afraid. God is our refuge and strength. He's a very present help in a time of trouble. So we won't be afraid because the Lord Almighty is with us. Let him give you his peace. We're going to get through this pandemic, this crisis. You're going to come through because Jesus said, we're going to get through. We're going to the other side. I don't know what's next or what will be required of us in the near future, but I'll say it again. I know this. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress, and it's going to be all right. So don't let your heart be troubled. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for peace and calm. We're going to pray for peace in our heart. But let me just say first, maybe you've tuned in today and you are looking for encouragement. You don't go to church, but you're surfing the web or whatever today. You're looking for something today and you ran across this and you're saying, look, I'm just kind of freaked out by everything that's going on and I don't know anything about God or Jesus or whatever, but I want the peace that you people are talking about. How do I find that? You find it in Jesus. He is the source of that peace. He is the way and the truth and the life. Well, what's the Bible say? Well, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, that if we confess our sins, if to confess means we're going to say about our sin what God says about our sin, that it's wrong, that it separates us from God, that if we confess our sins, then he is faithful and just, and he'll forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Romans chapter 10 says that if we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, that we can be saved. And so right there where you're watching today, I invite you just to confess the truth about yourself, because that passage in 1 John says, if we say we have no sin, then we're not telling the truth. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, the Bible says. But we confess our sins. Lord, I've sinned and I've failed you. And I'm not ready to meet God. I'm not ready to face all this stuff going on in the world. I'm frightened and I need you to forgive my sins. And I believe you died on the cross for me. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him could have everlasting life. Jesus took the penalty for your sin and my sin upon himself. He died on the cross, our substitute. And if we believe that he died for us, he died for you, and he rose again, and he offers us life and forgiveness today, if we believe that, then we can call upon him and he'll save us, forgive us, and he'll give us new life. I invite you just right there, just to pray a simple prayer like this. Just saying, Lord, I admit, I confess I'm a sinner, and I need you to save me today. I believe that you died for me on the cross. You were buried and you rose again to conquer death and life and sin. You are victor over all. And I ask you to come into my heart. Take away my sin. Give me a new heart and a new life. Give me that promise that if I die, I'm going to go to heaven and be with you, because my sins are forgiven and my hope is in you as my Savior and Lord. Lord Jesus, for anyone who prays that prayer or one like it, who believes upon you, believes in their heart that you died for them and rose again, and that God raised you from the dead, Jesus, anyone that believes that and calls on your name can be saved. Let it be today. Let it be today. And friend, if you prayed that prayer, reach out to us one of those ways. Email us. Call the church during business hours, Facebook, Instagram, all those ways. Let us know that you asked Jesus in your heart. We want to pray for you. We want to pray with you. We want to encourage you in a newfound walk with the Lord. And you that are a regular part of Carbondale, you're watching today, we want to close with just another word of prayer. But let me say, stay in touch with us. Send us a greeting or a comment today and let us know, hey, I was watching and we're praying. Reach out on Facebook or the website, cagtulsa.com. Stay faithful. Keep your faith. Keep looking to Jesus. Stay safe. Be wise out there. Look for ways to serve again. Let's trust him. Let's trust him. The old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth, they'll all kind of pale. They'll fade away in the light of his glory and grace. Keep turning your eyes on Jesus. If you're frightened and worried, keep looking to Jesus. If you've got kids at home, pray with them every day. Kids, we're going to keep looking to Jesus. We're going to keep our eyes on him. It's going to be all right, because Jesus is in the boat with us. And we're going to get to the other side. It's all going to be all right. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray your grace and your peace to rest upon the dear ones who are watching us today. Let your grace and mercy and peace be upon the family of God, not just at Carbondale, but in that your expression of faith around the world, Lord. We've prayed today. We join our hearts and our voices with people of faith all around the world, asking for deliverance, asking for healing, praying, Lord, that you would stay this plague that's come against humanity and come against this world. Lord, deliver us. Deliver us, put protection around us, keep us from the evil, from this pestilence that comes. Lord, Psalm 91 comes to mind, that you'll keep us from the pestilence that stalks us, Lord. The arrows that fly at day, or the pestilence, the trouble that comes at night, this unseen enemy, Lord, protect us and preserve us. Lord, may our eyes be upon you. May the nations of the earth cry out to God. May we turn to you in repentance and faith and cry out to you. And may the church lead the way in prayer and intercession, in repentance and in calling upon you. Lord, once again, we ask you for healing, for strength, for peace. Lord, heal those that are sick as we turn our eyes to you. Lord, remember what King Jehoshaphat said when the enemy was coming against him. He said, Lord, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. That's where we are today. We don't know the next step, but our eyes are on you. We're going to look to you and trust you. We'll turn our eyes upon Jesus and we'll believe for the best. And so, Lord, I thank you. Thank you that you hear us. Thank you that we can gather like this, the technology to do this. Thank you, Lord, that our children and youth and others can connect and to stay in the Word of God and to keep our eyes fixed upon you. We bless you and thank you for it in Jesus' mighty name. Thanks for being with us today. Thanks for joining your hearts with us in prayer. Stay connected. Keep watching Facebook, Instagram, and we'll try our best to stay connected with you. The Word of God says to speak this blessing upon the people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. May it be so for you and for your family and those you love. May His grace and mercy be with you. And may the fellowship of the Holy Spirit keep you close. In Jesus' name, amen.